I recently had the great experience of listening to Wondery's Boonga Boonga podcast. That is, the experience that was great was listening to it, not reliving that whole period. It coincided more or less with the moment I started to get interested in politics. Although I don't remember exactly when, I do happen to remember exactly how and why I started to follow politics. The story requires that I introduce three main characters: Professor Chiossi, my friend Chiara, and my friend Filippo. Professor Chiossi was our high school English teacher, and since I was the American kid, it was about the only subject in which I managed to keep my head above water at the start. Now, before we go any further, let me clarify that I do not have a drop of American blood in my body, but I had just moved back to Italy from the United States, so the association stuck. Professor Chiossi did not, at all, subscribe to the whole wishy-washy, encourage students and nurture them and all that New Age wimpy rubbish. She was a woman of steel. I remember, for example, that she told a few of my classmates that they should just give up studying and go and take up farming. My time came when she discovered I knew absolutely nothing about Italian politics. I didn't even know who the Prime Minister or the President of the Republic was, which made her scoff in disgust, and I wanted to go and bury myself out of embarrassment. It was time for me to get a political education. Who to turn to? That's where Chiara and Filippo came in. Chiara was more moderate and well-informed. She read the newspaper every day and had a perfect tactic for getting us out of philosophy tests. She had very quickly understood that our philosophy professor was very easily distracted by current affairs. So when the time came for oral tests, which in Italy have the unpleasant name of interrogazioni, Chiara would whip out an article on a topic she knew would interest him, and that was the lesson hour gone. Filippo was a lot less moderate. One day he showed up at school and he had been to the hairdressers or the barbers, or whatever you want to call it. He had some short hair on the top of his head and that was it. All the way around, back and sides, it was shaved off. Nowadays that would be quite stylish. Back then, it was just weird. The story was that he had shaved a symbol into the back of his head. When his father had gotten home, he had dragged Filippo back to the hairdresser's and had it shaved away. If you looked very closely, however, you could still see the vague outline of a large hammer and sickle, the symbol of communism. So, spurred on by Professor Chiossi and guided by my friends, I started my education in Italian politics. It was quite a time to do so. The Sicilian mafia, Cosa Nostra, was at the height of its attack on the state, with many high-profile killings, such as those of anti-mafia judges Giovanni Falcone and Paolo Borsellino. The Italian political establishment that had existed since the end of the Second World War was crumbling. Hell, it was shattering under the onslaught of the anti-corruption Mani Pulite, Clean Hands investigation. The main parties of the history of the Italian Republic, the Christian Democrats and Socialist parties, had basically disintegrated. It was a moment of great hope. Some really thought that a new dawn would come, that we could have swept away a corrupt mastodon of a system. Some Italians, indeed millions, felt that the answer to this moment was one man, Silvio Berlusconi. Before we start, a word from our sponsors. Now, I love podcasting, but what with finding time for podcasting and work and family, which is obviously the most important thing, and soon to come a move to a new house, things can get very stressful. That's why I sometimes really wish that I were in the United States and I could relax with some of the wild CBD products. Indeed, this episode is presented by Wild CBD. Wild produces the best-selling edibles on the market using real fruit and all-natural flavoring. With flavors inspired by the Pacific Northwest, high-quality ingredients, real fruit, and consistent dosing, Wild has become one of the leading cannabis edible products in the country. Wild's new CBD line currently offers real fruit-infused gummies in blackberry, huckleberry, I'd love to see what that is actually, lemon, and raspberry, my favorite fruit, and CBD-infused sparkling water in raspberry, lemon, blackberry, and blood orange. Each gummy is dosed with 25 milligrams of CBD and can be purchased in a bottle of 10 or 20. Wild CBD is offering our listeners 30% off their next purchase from wildcbd.com. That's wild with a Y and CBD in letters. By using the code POD. That's POD for 30% off your next purchase. Wild CBD products are intended only for use by individuals aged 18 or over. Wild CBD products should only be consumed as directed on the label and should not be used if you are pregnant or breastfeeding. All Wild CBD products are made with ingredients containing 0% THC, that's the naughty component. Consult with a health professional prior to using Wild CBD in combination with any medications or other dietary supplements, so relax with responsibility. Today's episode is also once again sponsored by those wonderful people at Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podgo, and you always get it straight away. Apply today to become a member and immediately get connected with advertisers that fit your audience, or don't put any adverts if you don't want to. You can do what you like, it's great. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. And be sure to add a history of Italy in the How Did You Hear About Podgo section of the application. So, this is a very special episode of the podcast. It was prompted by me listening to the recent podcast by Wondery, Bunga Bunga, and just to clear the air, I have absolutely nothing bad to say about this podcast. It is really well done, well researched, and it is wonderfully narrated by Whitney Cummings. I know she'll never be listening to this, but by any chance, if you are Whitney, you have a new lifelong diehard fan. But it's also an opportunity for me to go back over my personal experience of the Berlusconi years. The program, as I said, is excellent, and it's made some very good choices about what to include and what to exclude. But I can assure you, as far as the 20-year period in which Berlusconi dominated Italian politics goes, there's a lot more to tell, and we're going to talk about some of that today. Now, I'm especially excited today because I have something that I've wanted since the very beginning of the podcast. Very jealous of podcasts like Rex Factor and Totalis Rankium, I have a co-host. My co-host today is ex-lawyer and current policeman, as well as my good friend and brother-in-law, Matteo Marconi. Matteo, thank you very much for coming.
Buonasera a tutti. In Italian.
In Italian, good. So, Bunga Bunga, the show, by Wondery, starts in one of the early episodes. It's very much focused on Ruby Gate and so on. In one of the early episodes, though, it starts talking about a survey that was done in Italy just before Berlusconi entered politics about who the most simpatico. It's a bit hard to translate. It's not quite friendly. It's not quite charming. It's a bit of a mix of different concepts. So the most popular men were, and Berlusconi was number one. Number two was Arnold Schwarzenegger. At the time, we can only imagine it was because at the time Terminator 2 was out. And number three, would you believe it or not, was Jesus, as in Jesus Christ, son of our Lord, part of the Holy Trinity, and so on and so forth. And if you remember, Matteo, the whole divinity-Jesus thing was a real sort of staple and important recurring issue for our good friend Silvio. First of all, when he was betrayed in his first experience of government, he came up with the idea that he was the unto del Signore. That would mean the anointed one, and that he had been betrayed like Jesus. But then there were other moments and other things he said in which he was comparing himself to Jesus and to the victim and so on. Do you remember some of those, Matteo?
But this is quite strange because he was not betrayed by anyone, but he betrayed every one of his friends. Every one of his friends has been convicted, is in jail, and so I think it's quite curious that he assumed this figure of Jesus. And I'd like to translate the thing you said, it was simpatico. Maybe in English we can translate as the life of the party.
Yeah, because that's pretty good.
Just like a party man.
Yeah, this is,
He was not a politic, he was not an entrepreneur. It was just like a man who played at the party. His success is grew in parties, in strange parties, with a lot of strange people coming from different areas of Italian background.
Yes. Social life.
Underground, maybe underground.
And so on. Then Wondery goes on to talk a little bit about the first Berlusconi coalition, so the 1994 Berlusconi coalition, and they get the picture more or less correct. I think maybe we can go a bit further in depth, because the program leaves us with the idea that sort of the Berlusconi's coalition partners, who, Matteo, correct me if I'm wrong, were at the time Alleanza Nazionale, so a nationalist right-wing party, not extreme right.
Post-fascist,
but then we have in 1995 the leader of Alleanza Nazionale, Gianfranco Fini, had what is called the Svolta di Fuggi.
He tried to create a new right-wing party in Italy, but not linked to the historical fascist regime. But in fact, his idea was not successful,
because
today the right party in Italy is still linked to old Italian fascism.
Which is a shame, because Fini could have been the man to introduce a sort of, how can we say, institutional right, which could have been an acceptable alternative to the left. But anyway, that he was one of the coalition partners, so Gianfranco Fini and his Alleanza Nazionale. And the other coalition partner, because in the program in Bunga Bunga they say it's different parts of the political spectrum, which is true, although we're not talking the political spectrum as in left and right. There was nobody in the coalition on the left. But the sort of the difference was between Alleanza Nazionale, which was a nationalist party, and the Lega, which at the time was still called Lega Nord, which was a regional separatist party. So in the same coalition, you had a party which was for Italy as a united country, and a party which wanted to basically split it apart. So that was the first coalition. And I don't know if you agree, Matteo, but I think that Fini and Bossi, Fini was the leader of Alleanza Nazionale, Bossi the leader of the Lega, I don't think they were under any illusion about who they were getting into bed with, who they were. I don't think they were sort of shocked by how things went with Berlusconi. It was just an attempt to see how things went. I don't know. Do you?
they choose the right horse.
Yeah, they bet on the right
horse. They bet on the horse and the right horse and the race. But they knew this wouldn't last. This couldn't last that long because they were so different. The party, the bossy party, also called Lega Nord per la Indipendenza della Padania. They fought to be to have North Italy as an independent state from Italy. Yeah.
Although this state Padania, nobody really knew where the borders were. Or
I didn't know what Padania was until 1994.
Yeah, or when the Lega started in the
Padania is the valley of the River Po, but nobody called this place Padania until that year.
It was a concept invented by the Lega.
Invented, but not nobody talked about this. And since that year, we began to think about North Italy and Padania, but it was a concept that we didn't understand.
Yeah, I don't think even the Lega actually ever knew where the borders of Padania. I mean, is Tuscany in it? Is it not? Are we in it? Are we? I mean, we're south of the
borders.
Po.
Were changing upon opportunities.
Yes,
if you need the boat under the River Po,
it was everywhere. It could have been Tunisia. Could have been part of it if they had voted for.
Until now, Padania is all Italy because the leader of Lega Nord,
which is no longer Lega Nord now.
Yes. Is now a nationalist party, and Padania has been dismissed by this leader, by Salvini.
Matteo Salvini.
Anybody know Salvini?
Yes, we've spoken about him in the podcast a couple of times. Indeed, when the time came for Berlusconi to have his first trouble with our justice system, not Berlusconi, but I think it was his brother Paolo, who was first indicted, who received what we call in Italy his avviso di garanzia. Mm-hmm. Matteo, as an ex-lawyer, tell us very quickly, what is an avviso di garanzia?
Avviso di garanzia is the moment
the magistrate or
police inform you that there's a trial,
there's an investigation.
An investigation about your person, mm-hmm. and they show you the proof, the elements you have to... this you have to discuss in the court.
Mm-hmm.
So because you have to be when this avviso garanzia has been noticed.
It's been notified. Yeah.
Maybe you need you have to be, to have an interrogation or you must assume some proof on a trial mm-hmm. with a judge, with lawyers and public prosecutors. So this kind of notice, okay,
mm-hmm.
gives you information that you have to go.
You have to go to court and you have to defend yourself against this proof, against these allegations, we would say.
Before we move on there, a word from our last sponsor. Today's episode is also presented by State Bags. State Bags makes beautiful, well-made, inclusively cool products while using the power of business to give back to shift the narrative around social injustice. For every State Bag purchase, State hand-delivers a backpack packed with essential tools for success to an American child in need. But their commitment goes beyond simply material donation. State Bags has your back, and part of that commitment is making a difference in local kids' lives. I particularly appreciate their Masks for Everyone campaign, which, at a time when mask wearing is for some weird reason controversial, everybody please wear those masks, they have a campaign of Masks for Everyone. To get you ready for your commute or wherever you are traveling next, State is offering our listeners 15% off their next purchase at statebags.com using the code POD. That's 15% off your next purchase using the code POD, P-O-D, at statebags.com. State Bags, they have your back.
And indeed, it was Bossi in particular that we could say pulled the plug on the first Berlusconi government when he noticed that things were not going Berlusconi's way. The avviso di garanzia, the indictment of his brother was one thing, then an indictment for Silvio himself would come soon. And then there was the attempt to start with the what are called now leggi ad personam, so laws for one person, laws for himself, basically. And one of the first, which sort of shocked and he was forced to withdraw was the attempt to get rid of what was called custodia cautelare, so a temporary imprisonment, let's say, or cautionary imprisonment.
He tried to make this attempt to for the people who have been under trial for corruption. For this person, this law inhibits the custody. For only this kind of
for corruption. So basically, if you're corrupt and you're under investigation before the attempt to pass this law, you were put in prison, so you couldn't get rid of the proof and so on. And Berlusconi tried to get these people out.
Very strange thing is that legge ad personam from one person. No, Berlusconi didn't. In Italy, we can't do a law for a person, obviously, but in the right time, he choose the right laws that are useful for his purpose.
Yeah, for his personal.
They are not laws ad personam, but there are right laws in the right moment.
Yeah, we could say there were laws for everyone, but conveniently in that moment, especially for him.
And nobody needed them in that moment.
Well, nobody, let's say, unless you were an important businessman who was under investigation.
Unless you were Berlusconi, nobody needed his law in this moment.
Yeah. And that was one of the things, one of the stories of the Berlusconi era, that what he was doing was to defend honest Italians against a politicized magistrate, isn't it? That was one of the stories that he tried to pass, you know, that...
I think it was the first in Italy that talked about this problem, because there are always been process against politicians in Italy, but this... He had a new narration of this problem. He began to talk about magistrates and politics, and this kind of narration had a strong catch on people.
Yeah, it had an impact. Yeah.
Because since then, the history of the trials in Italy is interpreted by a politic way. You look every inquiry.
Yeah, their inquiry, investigation.
By a political view. So if the magistrates began to inquire against a left-winged party...
Then they were right-wing. And
so on. This kind of narration began then and is useful now. Yeah.
Which is one of the very, very sad things about our recent history, because we had that moment. I spoke about it sort of in the introduction, which we really could have seen a nation reborn, which was Mani Pulite, the Clean Hands investigation, which could have sort of swept away all that corrupt establishment, and in part it did, you know, it destroyed two of the main political parties that had dominated Italian politics. But we really had a chance to create a good new country. And even that story now has turned into an attempt by a politicized group of magistrates to try and block these good, honest entrepreneurs who were trying just to do their job. And it's very, very sad how that narration for a certain part of the political establishment, but also of the electorate, has come out. It's one of the tragedies of our recent...
It's a tragedy and a paradox, because in the beginning, Mani Pulite was the chance to destroy the old regime. And two main party, and Democrazia Cristiana and the Socialist Party, have been swept away by these magistrates.
Yeah.
But in the end, what happened? That Silvio Berlusconi needed to replace the old regime who have been swept away by this inquiry, and began to take place of the old regime party as the Democrazia Cristiana and the powerful interests that are beside these old parties, and decided that Berlusconi was the new man, and there was a sort of investment of Berlusconi as the new man who can substitute these old parties, and Mani Pulite began his the great chance to become a leader. And without Manipolite, we
wouldn't have had Berlusconi.
We wouldn't have.
True.
It's quite strange because
it is a parody. You're right.
It was the best chance and the worst chance.
I've never thought about it that way. No, it's totally true. Because if we still had a DC, a Democrazia Cristiana, and a Socialist Party, Berlusconi would have stayed running his business, taking care of his things, because he would have had the political
protection.
Anyway, so the first Berlusconi government falls because of this attempt, this Decreto Biondi, the Biondi decree, which was the one that tried to take the temporary custody away from corruption laws. And then we have, in Italian politics, the figure of the Presidente della Repubblica, so the President of the Republic, entering and becoming important. Because, and this is one of the, perhaps the only little error that the Bunga Bunga podcast makes. It's a technicality, so it doesn't take anything away from the podcast, but they speak of Berlusconi as head of state. Berlusconi was never head of state. He still may make it, who knows, but you know, they may turn around and decide to make him president of the Republic. But in Italy, the president of the Republic is generally, for if the government is working and still has a strong majority, is more of a figurehead, a representative. However, when it comes time to decide who to assign the task of forming a government to, it is the President of the Republic. So at this point, the President of the Republic at the time, i.e. end of 94, who was Oscar Luigi Scalfaro, stepped in, and we had what is known particularly on the right as the ribaltone, which means, how can we say, the flip.
Upside down.
Yeah, the wrong way round, the upside down, the flip. No reference to Stranger Things. Although sometimes in that period it was a bit like living in an alternative universe, an alternative reality. And so Scalfaro steps in and he assigns basically the task of forming a new government to the centre-left, which obviously from the point of view of the electors of the right could have been seen as a betrayal of the vote. However, we must always remember that in Italy we do not elect a president, we do not elect a government, we elect a parliament.
Nor the prime minister.
We don't elect. So we elect a parliament, and it's up to then the president of the republic to sift through, to have a look at that parliament and see what forces can form a stable government. And so that very, very quickly and briefly closes phase one of the Berlusconi experience, because Berlusconi's experience lasted 6 months, and he didn't actually leave power until the following January, but that was it for the moment for Berlusconi.
In the next episode, we'll have a look at the 96 election in which Berlusconi lost, and then we'll go to the 2001-2005 second and perhaps most important Berlusconi government. Thanks very much to everyone for listening today. Thanks in particular to my lovely Patreon supporters. The first half of the Margherita Hack and Galileo Galilei supporters: Anthony G, Brian J, Silane, Chanel, Chris, David L, Dean, Douglas, Elizabeth, Greg, Ignazio, Jeffrey M, Jeffrey W, Old John in Milwaukee, and Kevin. Shout out to the rest next week. And of course, the Maria Montessori and Dante Alighieri level: Paolo, Lisa K, JW, Andrew M, Brandon S, Maxime, David, and Sen. Thank you, one and all. Remember, you can get in touch. hello@ahistoryofitaly.com. If you have any questions, any comments, any criticisms, or just to say hello and tell me how the weather is wherever you are. At the same URL, ahistoryofitaly.com, you can click through to our social media. We are on Facebook and Twitter, and starting to do a little bit of activity on Instagram. Or you could go to our resources page and have a look at timelines and maps to see if it can help navigate our country's complicated history. You can also go to our support page, where you can become a Patreon supporter and have access to new content. In the next episode of News Cappuccino, for example, I'll be talking about unusual Italian political parties, such as the Party of Love. You can also support on PayPal if you are so inclined. Thanks once again to everyone very much for listening, and until next time, arrivederci.